The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning him, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' His mother and brothers arrived, standing outside, and sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, 'Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you.' But he said to them in reply, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Well, when I was a kid, and maybe this was unique to my family, but I don't think so. It was probably everywhere. Like if somebody did something, for example, they left dishes in the sink or something, my mom would say, "Who left dishes in the sink?" And then from all over the house, you'd hear, "Not me, not me, not me." Does that ever happen? Not me. And I was thinking about that as I was listening to this story about Adam and Eve. They have just committed original sin, right? Disobedience, pride, whatever you want to call it, lack of humility. And they come look. God comes looking for them, and what do? They hide. How many of us have had this experience of when we've done something wrong and we've committed a sin, especially if it's a grave sin, that the first impulse you have is to hide? You hide from God, but you also hide from yourself. And then you try to figure out some way to deny it, that it ever happened. Not me. So my first thought for you today is a simple one. What if Adam and Eve had simply had the humility to say, "Yeah, God, we made a mistake. We're sorry." I think the whole story would have been very different, wouldn't it? If they had admitted to what they had done and told God they were sorry. And it's fascinating that the psalm which follows immediately after this gospel is, "With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption." Because we see the fullness of mercy and redemption how many millennia later, when somebody finally has the courage to say, "Be it done to me according to your word." But I'm pretty sure God would have provided that mercy and that fullness of redemption if Adam and Eve had simply admitted what they did and told God they were sorry. Well, I think this is what St. Paul's kind of trying to get to in his second reading, where he says, "Everything is for you. Everything is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God." If the purpose of all of this is to give thanksgiving to God for his glory, then maybe we've been thinking about this from the wrong position. Is it possible to say, and I believe it is, that regardless of what happens to us as individuals or communities or countries, no matter how bad things might get, is it not true that God has already won the battle? So if we have a God who's already won, then all we have to do is be sure we're on his side. We don't have to fight the battle. We don't necessarily even have to decide how. Because that's what the cross was all about. If you don't think that the cross was for this reason, then we've robbed the cross of its purpose. Jesus has already made recompense to God for us on our behalf. Now simply we must just follow him, listen to him, do what he expects of us to do. We need to find ourselves on the right side with humility. As Adam and Eve fell, we don't have to. So then what happens? Well, if God has already won, then this whole conversation about Satan in the gospel today, it takes on a very interesting... I mean, everybody thinks about Satan as the threat, and he is a threat if you don't acknowledge the fact that God has already won. And so once we don't admit that God has already won, that's when we start to have all of these things. Division. He talks about how division is the beginning of the end. Even if Satan were divided against himself, Jesus says that would be the end of him. But if we are attentive and we're watching and we give God the possibility of being the one who protects us and keeps us with him. We don't keep ourselves with him. He keeps us with him. It's by his grace. It's by his completely unconditional love that we are even sitting here today. If we're able to acknowledge that God has already done all of this for us, then the whole spiritual life is no longer an experiment, but it's a fact. And it's not something we have to figure out every day. It's something that was already established. And the idea of us having to hide anymore or deny any of this is no longer necessary. It's a complicated thing people have with the reality of sin in their life, because I think more often than not, it's been my experience with, you know, sitting in confessions for 30 years, that most people, it takes a long time for people to come around to admit something that they did a long time ago. And I always say how much easier and how much better life would have been if you had just been able to do that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and not carry that burden around. The practice of religion is not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be joy. And it's that joy that we celebrate when we come together. If Thanksgiving is the result of our joy, then that's why we're here for Mass today, for the Eucharist that we celebrate, because God has already won.